It was the feast of the dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The word of God for the people of God. Well, Michael has been preaching a series on the parables, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let him cover the parables. I'm going to talk about this passage from John this morning. And I have some thoughts on this passage, but one of the things I want to start with is how it does comfort us with this good news. And I think today we all need a word of comfort, and for whatever's going on in our lives, but also the things that have been shared this morning, that Jesus is with us and is caring for us, and I want to celebrate that today. I love this passage because of that, and I like the script. I like the Gospel of John because of how he brings a different viewpoint into the story of Christ. Now, every gospel writer has something unique to say about Jesus. And they all have a different way of telling the stories of Christ. Just like you might come into the sanctuary and tell someone who's never been here before, you might say that this is a beautiful sanctuary because of this red carpet and the clean white walls and the rich wood and just how beautiful it is, that this is special for you. And someone else might come in and say, no, this sanctuary is beautiful because of what I experienced here. This is where I got married and where my children were baptized. And someone else might say, this sanctuary is sacred because of the stories it has to tell, because it has stood the test of time. It has seen generations come and go over and over again. All of those things may be true, but we pick and choose what we're going to focus on and what we want to highlight and what we lift up as sacred. And the same is true for the gospel writers. They all felt called and pulled to something in the story of Christ, and they wanted to tell that part of the story. And as Michael has shown us, he's been going through the parables, there is a lot of overlap. But they are all unique in their own way, which is why we have all four gospels put together, complementing each other and different. Now, John's perspective, John was a true evangelical. His main priority was telling the world that Jesus is the Son of God. And I think that's what we need to hear today. Jesus is the Messiah, and he cares about you. God delivered his Son into the world for you, for us, for each and every one of us. John's not worried how the baby was born into the manger or how Jesus as a baby, you know, had to run to Egypt or any of that. God says, or John says, that Jesus was with God in the beginning. And he is the light of the world. As Christians, we hold on to this assurance that we find in the message of John. We believe in Christ, and we each have our own relationship with God through Christ. So it is very easy to read this passage and to find that comfort we need in our faith. Jesus is our shepherd. He gives us eternal life. He watches over us and he loves us, and nothing will ever change that. The Bible is the source of our faith, and it makes sense that when we turn to its message about the nature of Christ, we find affirmation that we are on the right path. We read the words of John, and we feel secure in our salvation because we are the sheep who hear his voice. We have heard his call, and we have accepted it as truth. The assurance of our faith at times may relieve us of the anxiety of whether or not we will find salvation. We don't have to worry about that through Jesus. It relieves us of worrying about trying to make sense of the chaos, and there is chaos in this world. We have faith in Christ, the Creator, and He answers so many of our deepest questions. There are others that He makes us struggle with, but He answers so many of our deepest questions. Am I alone in this? We know the answer to that. We are never alone. Sometimes our faith does lead to deeper, harder questions in the chaos, and we are trying to figure it all out. But still, we can rest assured that God loves us and cares for us and calls us by name. So some of that struggle is another thing I wanted to talk about today, because I think this is a struggle that I see playing out each and every day with whatever, everything that's been going on in our world and in our communities. And the problem that I struggle with from this text, even as it brings me comfort and it helps me feel warm and secure and safe inside, the problem I also struggle with in this text is I see it set up a division between those who believe in Christ and those who have heard and have turned away. In this story, Jesus isn't very patient with the Jews. And I don't understand that. I've never understood that. Because He wasn't patient with them, but they were trying to understand. And there's other places where people ask Jesus, and they're like, tell me more. I'm trying to make sense of this. And sometimes He's patient with them, and sometimes He's not. And sometimes He gives people parables, and they're like, what? How am I supposed to figure this out? And in this case, He's not very patient with the Jews. It feels inconsistent. Is this the same shepherd who said He will go after one lost sheep? And I don't understand, because here are some creatures of God who are saying, help me understand this. I struggle because too often I have heard people use this exact text as a way to separate and to bolster the division that already is a problem between Jews and Christians, between believers and non-believers. I think sometimes it can be so easy to take the assurance that we feel and to become self-righteous about how we are better than others because we have accepted what we have heard. It is easy for Christians to say that we are the people who were smart enough and faithful enough to hear the good news and believe it and to accept the Messiah. We become the enlightened ones, and the non-believers easily become the fools. John's story can be used to create some kind of tension or to further a tension between us and them. It is a tension that divides us and separates us apart from one another so that someone is always wrong and someone is always right. This tension allows us to look at them and to feel superior because we think that we have chosen correctly and we have put our hearts where God has called us. The implication is that we were smart enough. We did not hold back in our doubt and suspicions, but we have trusted in Christ, and we will be rewarded with our faith, and those fools have not done that. They were blind, and they were deaf to the gospel. They did not accept it when it was offered. They will be punished for their stubbornness and ignorance. They are somehow less than us. I have heard this said explicitly with this passage, but I also think it's implied. Seldom do we actually say we are better than non-believers. We simply live our lives by the Christian faith and find assurance in the knowledge that we are on the right path. But like the older child who knows that mom loves her a little bit more, we are tempted to hold our heads a little higher. Maybe I just know something about that as an older sister. So how can we hold on to the good news that is comforting for us, that Jesus calls us by name and cares for us and does not let us go? How do we celebrate that and still find a way to talk about our brothers and sisters who don't believe as though they are part of us, that they are children of God. We are all part of the one human creation. We are all loved as creatures of God. And honestly, we are all still wrestling with faith and with our own doubts. Naming that struggle is a lot harder than saying, I'm a believer and I'm over here and they're a non-believer and they're over there. But to say maybe we have more in common, maybe we're in this together, it's a lot harder. And it's a struggle I think we're all trying to live into on a lot of different issues right now, a lot of different topics. But what it boils down to is how do we be in relationship with people who are different from us? The truth is that many of us who accept Jesus still struggle with our own doubts. I suspect that we have, from time to time, felt like we have not heard his voice for a while, that there has been silence. Maybe you didn't feel the assurance of God's love during a season. Maybe there were just glimpses of doubt when you said, is he really calling out for me? Is he really caring for me? I have not heard the voice of my shepherd. Perhaps we have more in common than we want to believe. I also think that we are struggling with how to just get along and how to figure out when do we play nice and when do we say we're all in this together and care for one another and show kindness, but when also do we need to stand up and say, I do believe differently from you? And I think that's the struggle that we're trying to figure out as a country, as a small community, even as a faith community. We all go through these struggles. I went to visit my mom in Texas. She's up in Dallas, the Fort Worth area, so she's dry and clean right now, and I give thanks for that. But I went to visit her, and there are members of my extended family with whom I believe different things about God. I believe different things about politics. I believe different things about how to raise our children. And it was a daily struggle to try to figure out, when are we going to laugh together and play together and support each other and affirm each other? And when are we going to say, I don't like the way you're doing that. I don't agree with what you're saying. That's different than how I think God wants us to live. And knowing when to be quiet and when to speak up and when to care and support and affirm and when to stand back and say, no, 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 not that. That is the daily struggle of what it means to be a person of faith. And so I don't necessarily want to just pull out this one text and say, here's what Jesus said about Jews, or here's what Jesus said to help us find comfort. It is one thing that Jesus said. He also said, I will go after the one lost sheep. He also said, the greatest commandment is to love one another as you love yourselves. We are all tied together in our humanity. We are all part of the us created by God. This is why we send blankets and baby boxes to our brothers and sisters around the world, and why we stuff backpacks for kids down the street. We are pulled together by our human connection. And it's not always easy, and it's not always obvious. In fact, it's usually really, really hard. It's usually actually much easier to just push them away and say they are not one of us. It's much harder to draw in closer and say, you know what, I'm like that in this way too. I have my questions, I have my doubts too. But there is a voice calling to us and telling us in the good news of Jesus and in this the good news of this passage that we are not alone, that God, our Creator, wants us to come home and wants us to be reunited. Some of us hear that voice and we rejoice. Some of us hear that voice and we are still confused. And still, some of us hear nothing at all. But we can no longer pretend that we are each on our own path, separate from one another, or that there are two easy groups of faithful followers who believe one thing and people who believe something else on the other side of the aisle, and that they don't depend on each other. because there is no us apart from them. This is the message of all of Jesus' stories. When we look at the big picture of his life and his death and his resurrection, it's that we are one world. We are one people created by God. And we are called to wrestle with that, to live into that struggle and to name it for what it is. It is hard work. I love John for the dedication, for his dedication that he gives to Christ and for telling the world about the importance of Christ as the Son of God. And I love the Christian faith that I hold on to that gives me strength and gives me comfort in that struggle. And I love that Jesus is so dedicated to caring for his followers in each and every moment. I just look at his life, and I hear Christ calling us to more than divisions of faith. So I think we have to hold this passage with so many other stories, with everything that Christ stood for, with his words of compassion and his acts of kindness to all people. They tell me that we are called to be together. What happens in the next world, only God knows, and we can take comfort in what we have been promised. But in this world, there is only one way for us to all live into our humanity that was created by God, and that is to work together. Amen. If there is anyone who feels called to follow Christ and to make a confession of faith in Jesus as your Savior, or to become a part of this church, I would be happy to welcome you as we sing our invitation hymn, In the Garden. And we're going to stand and sing hymn number 227. one person who can help. And that's what giving is all about, is when we see people who need our help and our support in whatever way that may be. So this morning, I invite you to give so that this church can continue to be a message of Christ's love, but also so that our gifts can go around the world to support our brothers and sisters in their very human needs. Will the deacons please come forward to collect our offering? Gracious God, we thank you for the ways you have given us so much and the promises that you continue to give us in this life and in the next and in the days ahead. Lord, we ask that you take our gifts and use them to spread your good news. Use them to help our brothers and sisters who need a message of hope. And take these gifts, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing our communion hymn, Bread of the World in Mercy Broken. And as we do so, I invite you to think about those all over the world. It's not World Communion Sunday, but those who are also taking bread on this Sunday morning and drinking from the cup of Christ, our brothers and sisters in faith. And I ask you to also think about those who are nourishing their bodies because God is good and God has given them food. And they may not call it sacrament, but it is holy. And I invite you to think of the ways God may be revealed in that just yet, because God is good and the Spirit surprises us. And the Spirit reveals itself and the voice of Jesus calls out to all people. Let us sing our communion hymn, Bread of the World in Mercy Broken.